This is a Haunted Attraction Network production. Achieve more with all our products at www.hauntedattractionnetwork.com.
While haunted attractions can give folks a little fright, the idea of being completely vulnerable terrifies most people. From public speaking to even sharing an idea with colleagues, vulnerability shapes our lives for better or for worse. Nestled in the resort district of Anaheim, California, lies Motel 6 Feet Under, the product of a family who dared to be vulnerable. Carolyn Carpenter, with the support of her family, quit her full-time job to bring Motel 6 Feet Under and her nonprofit, Boo, to life 2 years ago. In a world of chainsaws and extremists, Carolyn's family sought not only to bring Retro back, but to have the haunt aid in providing business services and occupational opportunities to underserved adults. Carolyn's dare to be vulnerable has brought something great into the world, and we stopped by this chainsaw-free haunt earlier in the month to get the updates on year two.
My name is Carolyn Carpenter. I'm one of the founders of Motel 6 Feet Under. We are here in Anaheim in the resort district, so that's why we're playing with kind of the fun motel theme. We are right across the freeway from Disneyland, and we open October 7th. We run through November 5th. We are open Wednesday through Sundays, 7 to 10 on Wednesday, Thursday, Sunday, and 7 to 11 on Friday and Saturdays. Our ticket price is $15. And we have a two-for price, which is two for $20, which is on Wednesday, Thursdays, and Sundays. We have a $25 front-of-the-line VIP ticket that's good on any night. Tickets are already on sale. You can find them on our website, which is motel6feetunder.org. That's the number six, motel6feetunder.org. So that's the basics of who, what, where, when. We are at the Business Expo Center in Anaheim. So we're looking forward to having people come out. This is just our second year as a nonprofit haunted house. We branched out and formed a nonprofit last year. And we are an old school haunt. We're sort of retro. We handcraft everything. And there are so many different handcrafted animatronics, at least two in every scene. And there's a ton of handcrafted props, actual antiques. So there's so much to see. You have to go through more than once in order to see everything. And there's also different paths. We like to play with our guests. It's an actual maze. You have to get in there and then find your way out. And we also like to play with illusions and misdirection. And we like to figure out how to make it hard for you to find your way. If people are having a hard time, we're watching everyone so we can send a monster in to scare you in the right direction.
Can you dive a little deeper into, without giving anything away, what guests could expect coming through the maze?
Sure. When you enter, it is a motel theme, so you are visiting at the motel and you will run into many of the dead and undead residents of the motel, and they'll help you or not help you guide your way. You have to find your way through this motel, and the people that live in the motel, it's a little girl, her name is Mabel. And she had her seventh birthday at the motel many, many years ago, and then she's been repeating that birthday, and she's really not very happy about it. She has a friend who's a clown, so if you don't like clowns, he likes you, he really wants to play, his name is Victor, and they'll kind of help guide you through. We have an elevator operator, and you really don't want to push his buttons. He's not a happy man. We also have Bones, the maintenance guy, and you can see Bones a lot on our Facebook page. Yeah, he's not the brains of the operation, let's just put it that way. And then we have Agnes the maid, who we really need to fire because the place is just a total mess. So they're our boo crew, what we call our boo crew, and they will guide or not guide you through the maze. And a good portion of the maze is an actual maze where you're just within a maze trying to find your way out. There are a lot of thematic pop-outs, things that are both live and things that are also censored and things that are also controlled because we can see you even though you can't see us. So it's very old school, kind of like a carnival ride that you would go on when you were a kid on a carnival, but without the car, like something like that. We call it chainsaw free. Not a lot of blood, guts, gore. You won't find Freddy or Jason or any of those Saw kind of characters. We don't use characters from actual movies. We create our own. And you're going to find more of the kind of thing that maybe your grandfather would scare you with. I mean, a lot of pop-out boo scares. And we really love it because people come running out laughing. And our goal is not to make people cry. It's to make people laugh and have a really good time. And that people tend to do that and they get lost. Some people end up coming right back out the front door again. We just throw them back in. So we take people through in very small groups, 4 to 6 people at the most at a time. We let them go for a while and then we see how long they're taking it. And the crowds that wait, we're hoping, we kind of reconfigured things this year so that we have that an hour is the most that people have to wait is what we're shooting for. But the reason people wait is because they're waiting on someone to find their way. So we want you to have an individualized experience. It's really important to us that you really walk out with a feeling that this was something different and special. So like I said, there's a lot of actually family heirlooms that we have in this. We were carnival kids, raised on the carnivals as kids, traveled around with spook houses, and we're bringing that kind of 1970s thing back. So that's kind of the general theme.
So let's back up a little bit. Tell me a little bit about the nonprofit that you are connected to.
Basically, the Motel 6 Feet Under is the main fundraiser for the charitable organization, which is Building Occupational Opportunities. So Building Occupational Opportunities is the charitable organization, or it's also called BOO. It is the organization that we formed about a year ago, and the Motel 6 Feet Under is the primary fundraiser for that nonprofit organization. Basically, it provides business services and occupational opportunities to underserved adults. So we have people that come in, we have program members that come in, they work on the haunt, and we spend time with them to teach them how to run a business, whether it be a haunt or a regular business, how to run a business, how to actually build things, how to create merchandise. One of our program members just came this year. He's created a whole merchandise line that's really fantastic. You'll be able to buy some of those when you come. And it's been really, really great. We're seeing such a difference in the lives of the people that are in our programs. And then that's our Fresh Start program. We also have what we call the Launchpad program, and that's finding young or middle-aged, there's no age limit, but it's finding program members people that are trying to start their own business, teaching them marketing skills, how to build a website, how to create a mailing list, how to connect social media, how to do all the marketing things that you need to do to start a business. So whether it's a haunt business or not. So we're doing webinars and classes, and then they actually help us build the haunt and do the marketing business for the haunt. So it works out great. We're having a great time, and it's really fun. It's like a big family.
And how much have you raised so far for BOO?
It's great because, like last year, for instance, we had an actor that passed away, and we were able to raise some funds to help his family with the services. So we're able to help our program members in a lot of different ways.
You mentioned that a lot of the props and the effects in here are all handcrafted. So I wanted you to tell me the story of two of these items.
We have a spider who is our Black Widow, and this haunt actually started as a home haunt years and years ago, and she's been with us now for a very long time. She's the grandmother of everything, and she'll be back again this year, and she's really special. We argue about whether she's male or female. She's a Black Widow, so obviously she's a woman, but she's enormous. And then we have some old school, like, illusions that we really love that float, things that float, and that things that move when you walk by in ways you might not expect. So those kind of little ones I really love because they're just so unexpected. People don't think that's going to happen.
I can tell that you're very passionate about the experiences of each of the individual groups that go through. So can you paint a picture for us of two examples of times that you think guests had the perfect Motel 6 Feet Under experiences, and what did that look like?
We had a family actually come through last year. We also have a few characters that hang around outside to keep you entertained, and we have one gruesome. He slides around and he, terrorizes people outside. And there was a family that had a very little child. I mean, we're open to families. We don't normally have little children. He was very young, maybe 4 years old. And the family ended up going through. They had such a good time. They went through probably 4 or 5 times. They kept going back in the line again. And this little boy, he came out laughing every time until for some reason the last time he came out crying and he ran to Gruesome. And we thought that that was the greatest thing. Like he had now identified this monster as protecting him from whatever was inside the motel. That was one of my favorite moments last year. And the same thing happened with his mother or aunt, or I'm not sure who she was, but she went through laughing the last time she came out crying too. So I don't know, something got to them the last time. And we often hear people come out and say, what'd you think of this? And then the person would go, what? I didn't see that. And they'd be like, no, what about this? And we get that a lot too, which we love. It was another family, I think, but there were quite a few of them. There were about 12 or 15, and they just refused to go in smaller groups. So they all crammed together and they got totally lost, which I thought was really funny because it was such a big group. And so then I was filming them as they came out and I said, so who got lost? And I was expecting like one or two people because I wasn't inside. I'm always outside. I love talking to the guests, and all of them raised their hand. And I still don't even know how that happened exactly. And then someone said, what do you mean, how we got lost? How many times is the question you should be asking? So that was like another one of our favorite moments. So yeah, it's been really fun. We're having a great time.
We're going to pause and take a break and hear from one of our sponsors, Gantam Live, and their live zombie infection game, Z-Tag. And when we come back from the break, we're going to talk with Carol about the challenges that she's gone through to create her event, and a little bit about the past and the path that took her to making this retro style haunt in an age of chainsaws.
It was intense.
When the apocalypse comes.
When I was running, it completely dodged an entire crowd of nine.
Will you survive?
You gotta act quickly.
Z-Tag brings the undead to life.
If you take your time, it's gonna be too late.
In a real world challenge.
Next thing you know, you turn around, there's zombies.
Of speed, agility, and survival.
This is an awesome birthday.
It's zombies against humans.
Buildings, it was mazes. They're jumping out of everywhere.
Wear your Z-Tag badge with its flashing LEDs and get into action.
It really felt like zombies were coming at you at the end when you see the red tags everywhere.
Hunt or be hunted, take your pick.
It was a game you had to find.
Red light for zombies and green light for humans.
When you're like walking in and all of a sudden zombies come by.
Your survival instincts will be put to the ultimate test.
I would play Z-Tag again.
Do you have what it takes? Hashtag play Z-Tag.
Welcome back from the break. We're still here with Carolyn in Anaheim at Motel 6 Feet Under. And we previously talked about kind of the who, what, when of Motel 6 Feet Under. And we talked about their nonprofit, Boo. We talked about Carolyn's attempt to create these individual experiences with small groups of people and to show off this handcrafted haunt that really is a harken back to an older time and to that fun, delightful attractions to go through instead of the extreme scares. Now I want to talk a little bit about the challenges that you have gone through to create this attraction.
I think one of the challenges, this haunt originated as part of the Anaheim Fall Festival, which is another amazing event on October 29th that you should check out. It's a festival and then a parade in the afternoon. We did it as part of that for one day for many years, and then it just started to get some popularity and it started to grow. And so then the Fall Festival is a very small board and they decided it was just too much for them to handle. So last year we branched out and formed our own nonprofit. So it felt a little bit like you're flying out blind out there a little bit. You know, it was like, it wasn't necessarily going from a home haunt to a commercial haunt, but going from something involved in a festival that, you know, was free and was just kind of a little haunt thing, that to a commercial haunt was a big undertaking. And we were very fortunate to land at the Business Expo Center because Jim Schaub, who owns it, is very philanthropic. And so we did a deal last year where we did a revenue thing where if we didn't make it, he agreed to take the hit, which was made such a difference. And that was, He is amazing and we can't thank him enough. And then through social media, through Scare LA, we just worked our butt off in terms of social media and getting the word out and giving away literally hundreds of free tickets, which we did again this year at Scare LA, and we did that at Midsummer Scream too. So giving away those tickets really helps, you know, people will come check it out. And so, and we did some Groupons and just did those basic routes, but really just being diligent with social media and just that idea of being in here building away, like having no idea will they come. And so that first night when people started walking up the driveway, it was like, oh, huge relief. And then word of mouth spread. And I have to say the haunt community is so amazing. And 17th Door and Empty Grave, who unfortunately isn't around this year, we hope they come back. And Sinister Point, we love them. They were so great to us. And I was like a puppy at their heels, constantly saying, hey, you want to do some cross-promoting? Hey, and I was just reaching out. Because in my opinion, you know, there are extreme haunts out there. That's not us. We're not an extreme haunt. We're a different thing. But it's like going to the movies. There's so many different things you can go to. There's no reason just to go to one. Go to them all. So, and they were really just open-armed, like, yeah, go to their haunt. And so that really helps. We did a lot of cross-promoting just in terms of word of mouth. You know, like I said, I stand outside and I talk to every guest and I'll say, what else have you seen? And I'll tell them about all the haunts in the area. And so that was really fun. And I think that was the biggest challenge for me personally. I do the marketing, you know, and we have a very, very small staff that's mostly family. So it made it hard too.
Let's explore a little bit about your past and why specifically this type of a genre, because I can tell that you kind of have a passion for it. You know, you're not doing it just because it's an underserved genre. When you talk about these handcrafted pieces and these animatronics, you know, you really see the passion in your face and light up. So explore the past and why.
I think there's a few things about that. I think, one, I'm a big old wimp. So I think, you know, some of these, even the trailers from some of these dream haunts make me cry. So I'm not that person. So I think that's partly why I love the style that we have. And I think it really does bode back to us being a carnival family, like traveling around. And even my grandfather created, if anyone knows the history of this area, but he created an amusement park that was in, I believe, Malibu. And my great grandmother was one of the founders of the Pasadena Playhouse. I mean, we come from a long history of theater people in this area. And so, and traveling, and my dad also handcrafted everything, the Disconnected Lady and Creature of the Black Lagoon, all these like really old school Frankenstein's Laboratory kind of haunts. So he taught us as kids. And so we never really lost that. And when we first started, we thought, you know, I think we were playing with things, and first we weren't sure if people would go for it because it was such an old school thing. And one of the headlines that came out when we were part of the Fall Festival was a not so scary haunted house. And we were like, no, that's not what we mean. You know, we're still really scary. It's dark and things pop out, and we just couldn't find ourselves going that way. And so we were having so much fun and people were enjoying it so much that we decided just to take the plunge and see. And we were actually, you know, obviously pleasantly, but I was very surprised at the reaction and how much people came out, just, you know, harken back to their childhood. Like a lot of people came out saying, oh my gosh, I remember when I was a kid, was we heard that so many times, and it was just so fun.
So then you did have a lot of experience when you were a little girl and then throughout that in doing carnivals and doing all of this. So it's kind of like a family trade, I guess. So it's not that far removed then, you know. It's not like you it's a whole new thing for you. It makes some logical sense.
Well, my
sense.
Dad's going to come out this year and visit the haunt. He lives in New York now, but he's turning 90 next year, and he's going to come out and see it. And it's actually my brother who is the genius behind the animatronics. And I think that's why I'm so passionate about it, because I watch him, and he just amazes me with his talent and the ideas and how he can take an idea and then make it come to life. It's really astounding. So he's the genius behind all that.
What was the moment, I guess, where you realized that your idea had traction?
Well, there's been a few moments along the way, and I don't want to be remiss in that my son, who is now a 17-year-old, when he was 10, he was really the main one that said, we need to do this. Like, he loved it. He was the one that pushed it forward and really made it happen. So this is kind of all his brainchild in terms of it having growth in that. And so now we've kind of brought everybody all together, the whole family coming up. Well, one key moment was just when we opened and seeing people come up the driveway was huge. But I think one of the best moments was kind of towards, it wasn't even the end. It was like about the third weekend when we had the 2-hour wait and we were running around not having any idea how to handle that kind of crowd. We weren't expecting that. But when we said, because I ask every single person, how did you hear about us? How did you hear about us? And I kind of heard some of the things, but pretty soon people started to say, I heard, I don't know, I think. And then I was like, that's it. That means you don't know where you heard about it. You heard it from so many places that you don't even know anymore. And that was so great. And just, I mean, I can't say enough about the haunt community and people like you and people, you know, from Scare LA and Midsummer Scream and so many TPA, there's so many, My Haunt Life, there's just so many great people that we've met that have been so supportive. And all of that has just been Gantam Lights. We love Gantam Lights. So I support that commercial. They're awesome. We met them at Scare LA and we ended up using their lights and then we kept them. And it's just been, I mean, we've been so excited about all the great people we've met along the way too.
What was one of the most difficult parts of starting this attraction?
I think making that leap, taking that leap from, you know, doing something that was just a day into deciding. Last year we kind of looked at each other and said, all right, we're all in this year. I actually quit my day job. I was a fundraiser for the YMCA. So I come from a long line of nonprofit fundraising, which is why we started the nonprofit, because if I was going to do a haunted house for my job, I wanted it to be something that gave back. And that's the kind of business that I know. So I wanted to do something that I know. And that was another reason we stuck with our style, because that's what we know. I'm not smart enough to do an escape room. Like, I don't want to even try to do something that I don't do. That's not what we do. So we thought, let's go for it. And we had a conversation about, okay, we're going to run for a month. You know, we're going to not work at our regular jobs for a few months and just focus on this. And it was a big leap. You know, it was hard on our families to give us up for that time period and get a lot of eye rolling from a lot of people. Like, what the heck? I mean, anybody who's in the haunt industry knows that people just go, whatever. And like, I'm not even, like I said, I'm a big wimp. I don't even really go to haunted houses that much. So it was like, but I just love the market because it's such a great, the people that are in this industry are just so unique. And we even call ourselves like the Island of Misfit Toys. I mean, that we just have so many people that it's so unique. And so by starting the nonprofit and then seeing how we were helping people and watching that grow, it was very, very, very risky. And we're still figuring out the nonprofit and how we can help more people and what we can do to reach more people. Because right now it's really small. It's only just a few people, but it's making a big difference in their lives. So we have a new young lady that came on board. Her name is Hatter, and she'll be doing our makeup this year. And she's a self-taught makeup artist. And so we're helping her get her career off the ground while she does makeup for us and helping her figure out how to build her website and all of that. So by helping her get her thing off the ground, we have another young lady who's helping with marketing. And she wants to be a baker, so it doesn't even have to do with the haunt industry. But seeing her grow from what she's learning here, and she's having fun while she's down here. It's not her thing, but she's learning from it. So, and then another young man, like I said, he's been with us for a while, and he's now making these magnets that are really cool that you'll see down at the haunt. So watching these people grow from this program is just really fantastic. And there's a few others as well.
Yeah, walk me through the details of that decision. So it came after your first year.
We did it for the Fall Festival for 5 years, basically. And every year, you know, the first year was my son and I, who was 11 or something at the time, doing pop-up tents, you know, with the Y. So that's how it started. And then we had the Little American Business came in, the lab came in and was building the packing house in Anaheim, and they let us use a storefront. Really great. So we did one year where we had a storefront. And then so my brother said, well, why don't you take a few of the things that I use in my home haunt? So we, oh, okay. So then the next year we moved it to a warehouse, and that was the first year we kind of all came together. And we only still free one day, took probably 1,500 people through, really fun. And then the next year we moved into the Museo, which is a museum here in Anaheim. And we ran, I think we ran for maybe a weekend that was probably our wonkiest year, because we ran for a weekend and we sold a few tickets. And we look back on it and kind of cringe, because we had our spider. She's been with us from the very beginning, but it was wonky. And then the next year we branded it as Motel 6 Feet Under. And so there are a few people out there who have seen that original first year. And that was when we actually ended up we thought we were going to be inside. We got thrown out onto the lawn and we had to work around a tree. And so we accidentally discovered the maze thing where people actually got lost because we couldn't put walls together. So that, you know, we've had so many great happy accidents. And whenever something happens where we're not sure why that happened, we always just say, well, it was meant to be, and we move on and create something out of it. So it has been a long history of figuring it out. So then sitting down after that second year at the Museo, when we discovered we couldn't be at this Museo again, it was like, okay, are we done or are we gonna go for it? And we sat down and we just wanted to try it just one time, and then worked out.
What was the conversation like? You were all like sitting around a table and you were like...
Well, we're family, so we get together at Christmas, whatever, yeah, yeah. You know? So, I mean, I think it was sort of a natural progression. And it's something I think my brother has been wanting to do for a long time, and my son was really into it. And I think at the time it was like, it wasn't until it actually grew and that it became like, wow, okay, oh shoot, this is actually gonna work. We gotta really put it all in. But I think we were, I guess, naively optimistic and just thought, well, let's try. And I think because we found a space that was willing to work with this, and we have really wonderful city council that supports it as well. We have a mayor and city council that they come and they're really involved. And we have a wonderful fire chief and a fire marshal who's a haunt buff. So we sit down with them and they help us create a plan from the very beginning. So we're all very safety oriented, and just like we had so much support from the community that it just was kind of an, I don't know.
It just made sense.
Just did. We just decided, you know what? You have to go for it every once in a while and see how it turns out. And when you just kind of relax and let it be, stuff happens.
All right. Well, is there anything you'd like to add before we sign off?
Thank you for coming down here. It was kind of a trek for you. I know. I appreciate it. And yeah, thanks for doing that. And you, your marketing, I have to say, was the first thing I heard. I told you that earlier. It was the first, I started Googling, oh, how do I market this thing? And your podcast was the first thing. Marketing Mondays, yay.
Yes.
It actually worked.
I'm Philip Hernandez, and this show is produced by the Haunted Attraction Network. Today's episode was edited and mixed by Mike Migas. Chris Thomas wrote and performed our theme song and our special introduction music. Additional music and vocals from Music Radio Creative. Today's sponsor was Gantam Live and ZTAG. Learn more at www.ztag.com or by finding them on social at PlayZTAG. If you enjoyed today's episode, please, please consider subscribing and leaving us a review in iTunes or your favorite podcaster app. Those reviews help us tremendously. If you leave a review, hit us up on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook, and we can thank you personally. Thanks for listening, and until next time, stay scary.